Soul Sister Radio.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Soul Sister Radio.
Welcome to Soul Sister Radio. This is Maria DiGiovanni, and I want to welcome you to Soul Sister Thursday. We have a brand new show coming on for you today, and I'm excited to introduce to you Miss Rebecca Ryan. Becky, are you there with me?
I am. Thank you, Maria. I'm trying to stay warm out here in Georgia.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy. Why don't you tell the audience where you are, because we're in California here, and I love how Soul Sister Radio, we pick up everybody from all over the world. So we do have listeners on the island of Crete, in Athens, Greece, in Italy, in the Bahamas, and all over the United States, plus Canada. So we do have most of our listeners I want to thank on Archive. And I also want to thank our sponsors, which is Rebecca Lawler Limited, B&B Builders and Remodeling. We have Balboa Island Jewelers. We have Spa Gems. And we have Dama Tequila. So, Becky, why don't you introduce to our audience who you are and why you are here?
Well, my name is Becky Ryan, and I live in Atlanta, Georgia. I wish we could start a Soul Sister tour. Those places sounded phenomenal. Right now, we're experiencing some winter blizzard of some sort, and everybody's trying to get home. Cell phones are going off, and technology is going through the roof and basically breaking. Well, I've been doing online reputation, online marketing, and SEO programming for websites all the way back in 1997. Mm-hmm. And today, I guess we're going to be talking a little bit about current trends right now and helping the people and our fellow listeners and our archives on what they can be doing for this new year of 2013.
Well, for those who don't know what an SEO is, can you kind of share with our audience? And again, we have a lot of ladies who are listening who are just starting their own online businesses as well. So SEO, as far as online marketing, can you share with the novice what that really means?
What it really means is making sure that a website is found when somebody does a search. And SEO is simply search engine optimization. So we look at a website, and it's the back end, and we tweak it. We add words, we tell you to add more content to make sure that you're found when somebody does a search. So if right now we wanted to go to Soul Sister Radio, you want to be found. And if you're not, people hire me to go in and find out what's going on. And we have tools. We have statistical software to help people get the users they want to come to their site to do what they want, such as buy something or call or volunteer or get information to save themselves and somebody they love from misfortunes to helping them make money and start a new business.
Mm-hmm. There's a question that's come to my mind that I want to ask for those listeners out there that are listening to this for the first time. What is the number one biggest mistake that new companies make when it comes to building their websites as far as online marketing?
Not projecting far enough how big the company can grow, going ahead and buying something that will fit the moment, but it doesn't expand. So many companies that just start from like 2000 to now easily have gone through 6 websites. And it's better to go and invest and do some research and figure out if you're going to have a shopping cart, to make sure the shopping cart can expand. It will work with PayPal. If you no longer want to use PayPal, you became more of an e-commerce company, but it's ready to go and switch to credit cards and building up your audience, does it do emails? And I'd have to go and say that people are not having a big enough vision with their company.
Vision.
Start the first day.
Exactly. And because most people just throw up their websites. They don't really know what they're doing. I know I'm one of them, that's what how I started doing it. I just threw it up, didn't know what I was doing, and I hope for the best. And that's probably not the way to do it as far as that goes, because wouldn't that affect your online reputation?
It would affect your online reputation, but moreover, I'm going to go back just a few steps. When somebody throws up a page of 3 or 4 pages of whatever product that they're so passionate about or hoping to go and have it stick, when people come in, they're going to see that the quality is not there. They're not going to believe in you, and your trust will fail. The search engines are going to see that people have come in and left right away. Mm-hmm. The search engines will feel that you have no trust or authority. And if people start going in and doing searches or they can't find you or questions are being put out there about you, it affects your online reputation. So it's good to start with a thorough vision. It's good to start with quality software. And going with a vision of something bigger. If it can't be bigger right now, don't invest in it.
Okay.
But to go to online reputation, I don't know, did you hear about the lady who's suing Match.com today?
No, tell me. Is this a different, lawsuit?
It's a different lawsuit. And I'm going to kind of go and twist it for such a sad, sick story. This lady went online, felt because she's paying $30 that her privacy was protected. Now, I'm not an attorney. I don't know all the details, but she was beaten so badly that when they finally did catch the man that she had dated a couple times, he couldn't believe that she had lived. The lawsuit's going through right now, but it's really easy for people to cyberstalk, is what we call it online.
Mm-hmm.
And whether you're going online to Match.com, you have to pay attention and look for security options. Find out what their security policies are. Match allows people to sign up and any of their pictures, where they're from, their information to be found in search. A lot of people, whether they're single, newly divorced, whether they have an active dating life or not, would not like knowing that somebody can go and Google a local town and find your pictures.
Hmm.
If I can, and as sad as the story is about the lady, and we do have many ladies listening that are going online,
yeah.
If there's one thing you can do in January, it would be to go ahead and Google, Yahoo, go over to Bing, search your name with quotes, search your full name, abbreviated name, nicknames, all in quotes.
In
check
quotes.
The images. In quotes.
Okay, I'm doing it right now. So go and Google my name in quotes. Why is it in quotes is significant?
Because you might end up getting a whole bunch of other Maria. So we want to go with the solid name in quotes. Means I don't want just Maria there. I don't want D or Giovanni. I want Maria D. Giovanni. And
I see what it's doing. Interesting. Okay.
Now, what do you think of the results? I'm doing it with you.
What do I think? Well, the first page is all me.
That's wonderful.
That's interesting.
That's what we say. That's very good. Apparently your name is out there.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Because here,
you see, number one is LinkedIn for you.
Number one is Facebook.
Facebook, okay. Because you go to Facebook, and I'm not going to go into behavioral search, but I'm not signed into Google right now. So your number one is LinkedIn. Then it's Facebook. Facebook again. And then I also have it down for Ancestry.com.
Right. Oh,
and it goes Yes.
Mine doesn't show.
No, none of these. Say again?
Mine doesn't show that. How come? Oh, that's an interesting thing. How come my search and your search are two different searches?
If you're logged into Facebook, Google, your Gmail, your Yahoo, it already knows previous searches, so it's trying to display searches that they think you're going to click most on.
Ah, okay.
And there's another area, there's a filter for local. So if you put in a restaurant, you're going to find that it's your local restaurants first, and then it's going to branch out.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
And it's called behavioral search. So it makes my industry very difficult at times, because we can go in and have somebody go and look and they think they're ranking number one for their website, but it's because they go to their website all the time. Google realizes that and starts displaying it when their site isn't bringing any traffic, and they don't understand why, because it's found in all the searches. Mm-hmm. It's found in your search. And so, but to get back, let's go back to your, do you have LinkedIn showing up at all for you?
Yes.
Okay. Well, go into your LinkedIn, and I know you've been going through your LinkedIn, and I know you're active with your LinkedIn. Many of the listeners will not be. It is very important whether somebody is extremely happily established in their career to go in and make sure that it's fine. It's wonderful if somebody's thinking of expanding their company, their business, their name in the industry. And it is critical for anyone thinking that they might want to change jobs.
To do LinkedIn.
Please, what?
To do LinkedIn is what you're saying.
To do LinkedIn. It is something that isn't as invasive as a Facebook, but it's your online resume. If you apply for a job, the majority of recruiters immediately go to LinkedIn.
That I do know.
Yeah. Wouldn't you do the same?
Yeah, well, it's crazy because I get a lot of hits from, well, that's how I ended up going to Atlanta, where I got to see you last year. So was because they found me on LinkedIn.
And do you ever do check some people on LinkedIn?
Do I? Yes, I do. As a matter of fact, I was on there today. but I do that, and then I feel like a cyber stalker because I'm checking somebody out. Okay, so how do you not feel like a cyber stalker?
I just declare it, own it. It's discernment. It's wisdom.
True.
If somebody you met in the past, you would go and maybe see their car. You would have gone over to their home. You would have met them at places where you could see them living. And you would see how well they took care of their car, their clothes, their hair. And you would establish some sort of a judgment. You would stereotype. You would perceive whatever the future possibilities are with that particular person.
Mm-hmm.
If you look online, the bad thing is that things that were 10 years ago that you might have changed or want to change or never have happened again, if they've made their way online, they're there.
Right.
There are people who are having a terrible time that have had like a DUI 10 to 12 years ago, and it's appearing with their photo. Some really questionable companies are taking some very embarrassing moments in people's lives and putting it up there. Some of the companies charge $600 a month to keep it off.
Wow.
So it becomes extortion. What's really bad is it'll show up in Google. It'll show up in Google Images, Yahoo Images, Bing Images for your name, the county you live in. And if you have any sort of a business, you could lose credibility.
So
if it happened so many years ago.
So if you have something online, what is the best way to get it off and you don't, when you don't want it there?
Well, first I would say establish for January to go and hit each one of the search engines, Google your name, Google your addresses you've lived at, fully partially. Put in all your phone numbers. Some of the sites on, like the phone numbers, don't use the quotes. So it'll just be straight 9 digits, right? 1, 2, 3, 4. Yes, right, 9. So just put it in a variety of different ways of how you might type it. I just found out today that California has websites for pre-foreclosures. And it's showing them all the way back to 2005.
Okay.
So if a bank, a person had defaulted on their loan during this bad economy, twice they were put on this list, their name and their address and approximate home value. That could be pretty embarrassing.
Yeah.
A particular company today emailed us out of San Diego, and I couldn't help but grab the phone number and Google it. Goes to a home in San Diego. Well, it goes to an address. So I went and I took the address and Googled it, and it was on the California pre-foreclosure list. So their trust for any sort of sales or sales pitch or cold calling has been extinguished. Why would we trust somebody with our major accounts? That home is possibly going to be gone. Yet, I know people who've lost their home and they're wonderful. Care about them, but trust them with my life. But it's difficult when I have to make my first judgment before I've even talked to them.
Right.
Based upon that they're on a foreclosure.
Hmm.
Go in and Google. Make sure you Google your name in a variety of ways. Google your family and your kids. Google has a thing called Google Alert. Put your name into it, and that way you can be notified in the future.
Google Alerts.
You can type it in Google Alerts, and it'll pop up.
Gotcha. Doing it.
You can put in your business. You can put your kids in. You can put your schools in. You can put the things that you care about knowing and monitoring, and it can be the moment that they find it, to you can ask them for a weekly.
Okay, so you put your, you say you want to know when someone searches about you and it'll tell you?
No, put your name in so that if anybody writes about you and Google adds a new page to their index, they will notify you. What's great about that service is some of the people's Facebook pages, some people's MySpace, these dating sites, actually put people's names in, and it could start ranking. If you have the Google Alerts, you can stop it before it gets too far.
Gotcha. Okay.
Next, if you're single, going through a divorce, get into Facebook and become very familiar with their security features. If you're about to go to school and you're a college student or you're a parent of a college student, go in and make sure that your child, soon-to-be student, young adult, will go forward and have a great Facebook, because the majority of universities out there pay for a subscription, but all they have to do is give the name, and they're given the Facebook accounts and what they're associated to. So if you have a son or a daughter, you yourself are concerned about your Facebook. These schools are already getting the information of who they hang out with, what kind of words they use. Are they party kids? Are they Christian kids? Are they business kids? Are they rebellious?
They're getting all this stuff off their Facebook pages.
Yes. And they can see the photos. Any of the photos that they haven't gotten blocked, they're there. If you're going through a divorce, look at your other friends and find out who has pictures of you. That would not be good in a courtroom.
True.
Remove them. If you're going for a job, do not have a drink in your hand, regardless if you're even going for a liquor type of a career or an industry. It doesn't portray well for your reputation.
Mm-hmm.
I have something else kind of more fun. Oh, and by the way, check like Flickr accounts. Check Picasso.
What's a Flickr?
Flickr. F L I. Let me see. FLIKR.com.
What is
that? Do a search for your name on there. It's all images. It's one of the first areas that if you wanted to get your reputation back, put up photos with your name on it. If you need to get your reputation built up, there isn't much on there. You're about to start a new endeavor. I don't know what's going on, but say we go and we do a Google search and you're not found. So if your LinkedIn account, try to get it over 500 people. Sign up for the associations for the career that you're thinking of going into. Remove any associations that have no bearing on your industry. It's your resume. A Facebook account. If for some reason you really have a difficult time being found online and you need to and you want to connect with people and build your business or your sales or your authority, open up your Facebook account, but make sure that you know that all eyes are on it.
Gotcha.
And then can we talk about something that we kind of like and it's brand new and it's kind of more cutting edge or
Absolutely.
Google
We've
Plus?
Let's go ahead and take a break right now, and then when we get back, we will have about 7 minutes. Hold on 1 second, and we'll take a commercial break.
Soul Sister Radio.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Soul Sister Radio.
And we are back with Becky Ryan and CEO in here on Soul Sister Thursday. Becky, go ahead.
Hey, okay, we're going to end on some really good notes and things that we can do for the rest of the year, because why not end this year as we begin it, cleaning it out, fresh and new, expanding our horizon, and ending in excellence. I figure I should go ahead and share something that would cost a fortune to go and talk to somebody for online marketing, brand strategist. Different people are out there studying this and trying to keep these kind of gold nuggets. Maria, you and I have already talked about it. It's called authority, Google authority.
Okay.
And some of the things we've just discussed, kind of Google yourself, check the images, make sure that those things are all good. But what can you do to secure yourself with some authority that people start considering you the leader? You might be a leader right now, but if you Google yourself, are you number one for everything? A lot of people are having that difficulty because Google Plus, Google, with the help of their new area of Google Plus, has gone and implemented an algorithm, which means how they rank you and what results they're going to show. And right now, I would go ahead and tell every one of your listeners, start having fun on Google Plus. Take 10 minutes a day, go in, like comments, go in and share. Keep to a theme, be professional about this. Other people are going to see this and you want it to last. If your industry is jewelry, go in there and start talking about jewelry. If you don't have a product to sell right this second, start talking about the jewelry you do like and get your names and associations. You might build up your following so that you all discuss the jewelry. If you have a female audience and you have a product to sell, get to Pinterest. Start displaying the pictures. And over the past Christmas, this past holiday season, Pinterest was pushing 700% of the leads to people's shopping sites. So over... I think that they ended up saying that only 30% was Google.
Wow.
So 700%
was Pinterest?
With 700. We stop at 100. I don't know how the math works on this.
Okay.
But 700% increase in traffic. So when you think about it, if you were to get 3 people from Google, you're going to get 30 people from Google. You're going to get 700 from a Pinterest photo.
Wow.
If you care about your business, you're going to find out how to get your network built up on Pinterest. If you have female products, the audience on Pinterest is 70% female. 70% female over the age of 35. And the majority of them are making over $100,000 a year. So, and most of them are married.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking on there for their ideas, their homes, what they're going to buy, what they're going to make. So health, diets are going crazy. Wedding dresses. Vera Wang has millions of followers right now. Cooks are going on. So I'm trying to think of those areas. These are huge nuggets. If they're out there trying to go ahead and do something, what do I do today? Even if you fail, these are such brand new ones, you can delete it. Okay. You can go and put it out there and build up your following. Just keep to a theme so that by the end of this year, you are an authority. And if you can, go and try to double every month the amount of users you have. You start out today with 1, next month try to get 2. I think you're going to already surpass that once you get on there.
How many users are on Google Plus now?
Google Plus, I don't have the exact number on that one, but Google Plus has every single Gmail user.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hearing feedback. Can you hear me correctly?
Yeah, I can hear you. You're fine.
I know that we have that data out there. Google Plus has surpassed Facebook. The only problem is that there's more users on Facebook actively per day, time-wise. Google Plus, though, is for the businesses. It causes more decisions, and it helps directly affect your reputation and your authority. Facebook does not. Facebook can usually only hurt you.
Really?
Yeah. You'll go and take pictures from a party. Somebody else will think it's cute. Boyfriend-girlfriend games. Girls have a huge problem with cyberbullying.
Mm. Now, that's a whole other topic for another show. We've got about 1 minute left, so I want you to share with the audience what we're going to be talking about next week, or if we're going to do this once a quarter. I'm not sure if we've discussed that yet, but I want to thank you for the show here, but I want you to share with the audience what we're going to talk about next.
Well, I think it'd be nicer to go a step farther on the reputation online and going into the authority, and then possibly go into some of the trends that are going through with Google, because they've been changing every 6 weeks.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. Okay. So I know that Google Plus is something that we've talked about that I need to get moving over on there now, too. And now after this show, I understand the depth more of why. So, yeah, absolutely.
And we'll have some more fun with Google Plus. We'll have some fun with Google Plus that will help us with our reputation and authority. And then we'll hit some trends so
Perfect. We
can keep everybody informed.
Perfect.
Thank you, Maria.
No problem. We will be having, you need to make your Facebook and your Google Plus page for your new show. And as soon as we have the name, we'll go ahead and blast it all over. So, Becky,
that sounds good.
And thank you for joining us. And stay tuned for our next show, PTH Prayers That Heal with Corrine Walson. And we will be right back.
Soul Sister Radio.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Soul Sister Radio.
Here on Soul Sister Thursday. This is Maria DiGiovanni, and I'm happy to bring to Soul Sister Radio again PTH, Prayer That Heals, with Corrine Walton, who is actually at the happiest place on earth, aren't you, Corrine?
Hi, good afternoon. Yes, I am. I'm actually talking to you live from California Adventure. I've got a date day with my daughter, but I've tucked myself away in a small corner, and I hope it's quiet enough and there's not too much background noise, and spend a little time with all of you.
Well, I'm excited because, again, this is a show that I want everyone to really grasp and pay attention, that it doesn't matter. A headache hits you no matter where you are, and a pain can hit you no matter where you are. So being at Disneyland, the happiest place on earth, I think it's the greatest place to have this show and to talk about what it is that you believe in and what I know to be true.
Perfect. Well, today I thought that we would talk about the subject of man and maybe take a new look at a different perspective on who we are and what our identity is. It's kind of an interesting question. I don't know if you've ever taken time to sit down and really just think about that question, you know, what are you or who are you? Are you defined by your name and in male, female gender and what you do for a living? What happens after we lay this body down? Are we actually spiritual? Are we human? Are we both? And this question haunted me a lot as a young adult. I grabbed every book that I could get, Life After Life and Into the Light and all these books about life after death. I was just captivated by it. But in the study that I've had up to my adulthood, I have become convinced that we are not a material mortal being, but actually a spiritual creation. And once you tap into what that means and actually gives to you, it's just so freeing. And that has become my passion again, to share that with others who may have a limited view of themselves and feel trapped by the circumstances and what they think that they are. I have mentioned that when I start my show, I like to start at the top with absolute truths. And what I mean by the term absolute is just to see yourself the way that God sees you, the way that he knows you to be his creation. God being a spirit, man therefore is spiritual, not material. We attempt to make God more man-like when in fact, Man tries to make God man-like, more like ourselves, because that's what we understand with our five physical senses. But in reality, man is actually God-like and spiritual, not material. When I first heard these truths, I couldn't really wrap my head around, well, what does that mean, being spiritual and not having five physical senses? They all support the conclusion that I'm blood and bones and skin. And so if I'm not these things, well, you know, what am I? And the scientific world we've already discussed is we understand that everything is actually different levels of energy. If you recall last couple of weeks, we talked about that, that when you break things down, it comes down to the core being energy. And that as the energy, that this energy changes as our thoughts change. And what you think and accept in your consciousness manifests itself in your human experience. And if this is true, then the bodies are actually projections of thought. They become sort of like the movie screen of what's playing in your mind. And so, again, if you have sickly thoughts, that's going to result in a sickly body. If you're depressed, you're going to be tired and withdrawn. And conversely, the opposite is true. You know, if your thoughts are filled with love and joy, you know, you feel more energetic and you take on the world and you think more clearly and life just seems to work better for you. So we know there's a direct correlation between our thought lives and our so-called, you know, human experience or physical condition. So in order to correct any sense of dis-ease or a discordant condition, it's not enough to say, well, I'm going to simply think happy thoughts or healthier thoughts. The answer truly lies in seeing and accepting as true what God knows his creation to be. If God is mind and all that exists is an idea or thought from this mind, and God is love, then all these thoughts consist of love and goodness. If God is spirit, what he creates is spiritual. When God is principle, what he creates is perfect and complete and balanced and equal. We also talk about God as soul, so his thoughts are beautiful and pure, joyful, exuberant, just awesome. And it's true that if the source doesn't have something in it, you can't obtain it from that source. I guess what I'm trying to say is, if you look in the Bible at James 3:12, it says, "Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, or either a vine figs, so can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Likewise, a good and loving God does not create a sinful or a sick man. God made all that he that was made, and behold, it was very good. So in other words, if you have a good and loving God and he created all there is, then his creation, the outcome of that creator, is going to be just like its source, good and loving, perfect and complete. There's a woman that I've mentioned a few times. Her name is Mary Baker Eddy, and she writes in Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures. She says, the creative principle, life, truth, and love, is God. The universe reflects God. There is but one creator and one creation, and this creation consists of the unfolding of spiritual ideas and their identities, which are embraced in the infinite mind and forever reflected. And these ideas range from the infinitesimal to infinity, and the highest ideas are the sons and daughters of God. So I guess that's what I really want to impress upon you, is that, you know, we are the highest ideas of God. What Manu created at the very top is his children. Look at what he created and understand that we are more magnificent than the stars, the moon, the planets, and he knows us intimately and loves us. We are his children, and he doesn't say they, you know, numbers the very hairs of our head. And in 1 John, we read, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath his hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. So back in John, he's saying, right now we are the beloved sons of God. And we don't know exactly what that's going to look like or take in effect when we finally see God face to face. But we know enough that we're going to be like him. And holding that thought in your mind purifies yourself and your life. You know, Jesus knew and he taught this. He saw the perfect child of God standing right where you and I would see somebody sick or a sinful person. And as soon as he saw that, this correct view of man, that's what instantaneously healed the person of their condition. If we see and accept the real man and woman of God's creating, we too are able to heal in the same exact way that Jesus did. It's happening today. And it needs to be taught and continue to be demonstrated. You know, truth doesn't fade away. It simply isn't exercised or demonstrated. People aren't talking about this enough. We're not sharing enough. And, again, that brings me back to my desire to have this program, just to give you a glimpse of, you know, that healing truth is still there today. And when we see each other, in each other, the true idea and the true creation of God, that's what results in the healing work. I understand that we need to take a quick commercial break before I launch into this next area, which I think will be of immense help to everybody as far as really getting a better understanding and concept of what you are. And it's pretty exciting, so I hope you'll stay tuned.
Soul Sister Radio.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Soul Sister Radio.
Hi, and welcome back. We're talking about the topic of man and what that means, what the true man is and consists of as the idea of God and not this mortal or physical body that the world relays and tells us that we are. I want to reiterate again that in reality, each one of us is actually a spiritual idea. And you may ask, well, exactly what does that mean? And I find that it's helpful to think about it in terms of mathematics. Okay, I want you all just to pick your favorite number. Mine happens to be the number 3. The number 3, it's an idea, right? And it's indispensable to the law of mathematics. Without this number, the entire law of mathematics and the principle behind law of mathematics would fail. You could take a piece of paper and write the number 3 on it, or you could take one of those little refrigerator magnets with the number 3, and you could write on it or tear it up or burn it. You could beat it. You could abuse it. You could ignore it. You could abandon it. Does that destroy number 3 at all? Does it affect its potency or what it stands for? Does it remove its effectiveness from the law of mathematics? No, of course not. 3, it's an infinite idea. It's perfect. It's complete. Always has been, always will be. It doesn't have to compete with the numbers 2 or 4. And it doesn't need another number to be more 3-like. It doesn't have a shelf life. And it can't be affected by anything outside of itself. Again, 3, it's a complete, perfect, eternal, useful idea. There are no shortages of number 3. When I was younger and grappling with this whole issue of, well, what am I if I'm not this material skin, bones, and blood, I got an angel message, and it was so comforting, and I'll never forget it, but it came to me very clearly, and it said, Kareen, you are as valuable and necessary to God's creation as the number 3 is to mathematics. And I just went, wow. I mean, that just put a whole new spin on what I'm doing here, whether I have any value, whether God knows me, and what I consist of. And I began to see myself as this complete and perfect idea. I knew that I have no beginning and no ending. I'm an actual eternal idea. I wasn't born into a physical body, and I'm not going to die out of one. This, quote, body isn't who I am, and when it's destroyed, I'm continuing on as this loved child of God. I'm complete, and I already possess all that I need. I don't need to borrow from somebody else. I don't need to be envious or jealous. I fit perfectly into God's plan. There is no need for any kind of strife or inharmony because, you know, 3 isn't arguing with 4. 4 is doing what 4 needs to do, and 3 is doing what it needs to do. I'm also perfectly suited for God's creation and his plan. No other number is going to do my job, and just like that, I'm not going to do the work of any other number. I fill this place that's uniquely designed just for me. And I don't need to fear. You know, I already know that everything's taken care of in this idea. I have all right ideas. I've got supply and abundance and guidance and strength and power and health. Everything's all balled up into this one complete idea that is Kareen, you know, and that applies to you. I don't know if you chose a number or not, but you yourself right now are a complete idea in the mind of God, and he knows you, and you contain. Think of it just like a bubble that contains everything that you could ever possibly need. And when you realize this, things that you think that you are without will come into your experience. You already possess the right sense of home. You already have the right sense of companionship. You already are perfectly situated and employed in the work of God. And when you know this, you don't have to go outside of yourself to obtain something that you're afraid or feel that you don't already possess.
It's already within you. You are that complete idea. You have all that you need, and you express all that you have perfectly. You don't have to practice on being an idea of God. You already are. You are his reflection, and you don't have a choice in that matter. You are simply, it's effortless to be the reflection of God, and you are indispensable to God and his plan. Without you, God's creation would not be complete. You are eternal. You will always be, and there's no end to this. Destroying a mortal body isn't going to change your existence at all. You are no more your body than your clothes are who you are. This does not define who you are. Again, an idea, but not physicality. I can promise you that as you dwell on these truths, you're going to get a better glimpse of what you are when you not focus on the physical and the material. You'll get a sense of how incredible and unlimited you are, how loved and how needed and necessary you are to God's plan. You're perfect and upright, free, whole and pure, sinless and eternal. God did not make a sinful man. You are sinless. It's the world that would tell you otherwise. And as you see yourself in this new light, the seeming difficulties that you're facing again at work or in home or wherever will work themselves right out of your experience. You don't need to worry about how that's going to happen. Infinite perfect mind is going to take care of that situation and remove or heal or correct and govern the situation correctly. You just give that issue to God and stand firmly in your identity and know that all that he has, you possess by reflection, and that that's your right. If you suffer lack, you'll find supply. If you experience illness, you'll experience health. And if you experience sadness, you'll find joy. This is called the renewing of your mind, and that renewing of your mind results in the new creation. Again, what you're seeing in your thoughts is manifesting itself in your human experience. So as you renew your mind, you're becoming that new creation. And this new creation is the one that God knows and has known you to be all along. It's basically stripping the lie away from all of those labels and tags that people in this world have attempted to pin on you. And that's the bummer. You know, that's when we take in these lies, and either from our childhood or through media or all these other different avenues that try to tell us that we're less than who we really are, that we're not capable, that we're sickly, that we've born into limitations or hereditary, all of these. They're just lies, and we don't need to suffer from them. Take great comfort in recognizing the real you. Be grateful to know that you're not an imperfect mortal man trying to be Christ-like. We're not down here reaching up there, but you're already Christ-like. You know, this world and the serpent thought or mortal mind has sold us a massive lie. You can send it right back and claim your inheritance as the child of the great I am. So to know yourself, the key is to truly know God. The more you know about Father, Mother, God, the more you know about yourself. Familiarize yourself with those seven synonyms for God, you know, mind and soul and truth and life and love and principle. You know, the more you dwell on those qualities, you're defining who you are because you already possess all of that. So it's focusing on what's true and not giving any power over to the lie. You know, it's really important to accept these truths for yourself and also to see them in your children and also in everybody that you meet. You know, I just noticed that when I'm walking about here at Disneyland and looking at people's faces, you know, I'm not seeing people, but I'm looking in their eyes and I'm connecting with them and I'm smiling in my eyes. And, you know, it's like having a conversation without even speaking. You just love and love is returned. The spirit in me recognizes and sees the spirit in them. And it comes back. You know, it's just love is reflected in love, and it works every time. So I hope that I've shed maybe some light on the topic of who we are and who we aren't, and it's just an introduction. But I'm hoping that maybe something I've said today has stuck or resonates as truth with you. And I would encourage any of you to write out on the Prayer That Heals Facebook page if you have any questions or comments. It's been 4 shows, and I'd be very interested and welcome any feedback or comments that you guys have or any specific questions that you'd like answered. And otherwise, I'm just going to keep listening and carry on with the topics that I feel, I guess, logically best follow where we've been going. But I'm looking forward to getting into more discussions about the physical healing. I feel that that's the highest point and the call that's most necessary. So I will be doing that. Thank you. Go ahead, Maria.
Well, actually, we do have a question, and that question is actually coming from me. And as you know, we've been talking about this for years, and I know that everything that's going on within me is a reflection, or what's physically going on with me is a direct reflection of what's going on with me internally. So I know what's blocking me as far as my face and my jaw and all of this. And so our audience knows 20 years ago I had a fracture in my jaw. And the older I get, the physical symptoms are weighing me down. However, I am in total agreement with Corrine to make sure that this heals. But my question is this. I know that I rest on Matthew 9:22, and if I just touch the hem of his garment, it will be healed. But there obviously is something in my flesh that is telling me it was physically broken. So next week, I want to talk about how do I let go of that thought that is actually in my brain that I think is what is causing the block. And that is I want to talk about next week. And right now you've got about 2.5 minutes before we go to the next show. And the next show is The Advocate with Susan Chengazar. But you've got 2 minutes still. So if you want to share with the audience where they can locate you on Facebook and exactly a little bit of can we answer and can we break this thought in my head, you have 2 minutes.
Okay. Well, the answer, Maria, lies in you cannot go start with a problem with an error in the premise because you're going to end up with an error in the solution. And so basically we're not going to walk around in the theory of a material body and a broken jaw. We're not going to look at, let's go see a broken jaw and fix it. The answer lies in backing completely out of that and away from that and starting with a spiritual, perfect Maria that was created by a spiritual and perfect and loving God, and knowing that you don't have a broken jaw. There is no actual bone. And the bone that we discussed today is really the manifestation of thought. It is energy. And there has been some lie or something that you have taken into your experience, either your own thought or world thought, that needs to be reversed. But at the very base of this, there is a fearful or discordant thought that you've taken in that has to be overturned. And the way to overturn that is through understanding who you are as a child of God. And we can work through, they're called treatments. And it's kind of walking step by step on how to address what would seem to be a broken bone or a sick and ailing body. And it's really correcting your thought. And when you can correct the thought and remove the fear, the body follows.
Amen. Hallelujah.
It works, and there's testimonies about, you know, broken bones and lengthening limbs and restoring teeth that have, you know, been pulled out, and all sorts of interesting and amazing testimonies. So it worked and it's happened, and we can talk about that next week when we've got a little more time.
And we will be back next week with Corrine on Prayers That Heal. Stay tuned. Thank you, Corrine. And stay tuned for our next show, The Advocate with Susan Shingazar. We'll be right back.
Soul Sister Radio.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Soul Sister Radio. Soul Sister Radio.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Soul Sister Radio.
Welcome to Soul Sister Thursday. This is Maria DiGiovanni, and welcome to Soul Sister Radio. And thank you so much for joining us. And the show is called The Advocate, Susan Shingazar. Susan, are you there with me?
Hello, Maria. How are you?
Hello, beautiful. Thank you so much again. Thank you for having your show here and letting us produce it for you on Soul Sister Radio. I want to thank really quick our sponsors, Rebecca Lawler Limited, B&B Builders and Remodeling. We have Dama Tequila. We have Balboa Island Jewelers. And we have a Heart Four, which I will allow Susan to share with you right now. Susan, go ahead, take it away.
Thank you, Maria. And straight from the heart is what I was going to speak about just briefly before we introduce our guest today. And I was reading in Joyce Meyer's little magazine that she sends out. It says Straight from the Heart, and it's almost time for Valentine's Day, and Rebecca has that amazing glass heart that she has created to sell, and we honor organizations with that heart for domestic violence, sexual abuse, and to raise funds against these things. And so I was reading this little article about Straight from the Heart, and it reminded me of how Rebecca just put her heart into creating that glass heart. And I'm going to be honored to be offering the heart for nurses and EMS personnel and be sponsoring that globally around our world and raising funds for organizations with that. And so in reading this article, it says in many countries, February, we celebrate Valentine's Day, a day of love. The holiday focuses primarily on romance with cards, flowers, candy, teddy bears, other gifts given and received. But many take the opportunity to express their love for other friends and families, members as well. It's simply a celebration of love. Sadly, many people don't really know true love, that is, God's love for them. I'm talking about real revelation of his unwavering, unconditional love. This may be an underlying cause of many problems in relationships today, and quite honestly, many people don't like themselves, and it's mainly due to the lack of revelation that God, the creator of the universe, is absolutely crazy about them. What do I mean by revelation? Joyce says, I mean having a heart knowledge, not just a head knowledge. There's a big difference. Head knowledge doesn't do much good, and you really don't truly know something until it's in your heart. And when you know something's in your heart, no one can ever take that away from you. What's in your heart shows up in your life. You live, so many people who know in their heart they are loved by God can only love themselves, but they are also truly able to love others. Another way to put it is, if you don't have a revelation, of God's love for you, you can't fully love others because you just don't have it to give away. A perfect example of this is when Jesus spoke to the raging storm while his disciples cowered in the boat. He could speak peace because peace was in him. They could not because they couldn't give away what they didn't have. So when we learn from this, we get a real revelation of the love of God. We can know how truly to love ourselves in a balanced way, leading to a loving relationship with him, out of what will flow love for others that goes far deeper than just saying, I love you. It's like the many facets of a diamond. if you turn it different ways, you'll see all kinds of colors and sparkles. In much the same way, love is patient, kind, humble, not touchy or easily offended, and so on. Love is shown in many different ways, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can learn how to express whatever facet is needed for the moment. We need to saturate ourselves in the love of God, soak it in, bathe in it, believe in it, say it. God loves me. When we get that down in us, that's when we'll show up in our lives. And I read that because today our guest is called the Relationship Doctor, and she has for years been known as the Relationship Doctor. She has a PhD. She has a national recognition for her work in the fields of relationships, intimacy, and personal communication. She's helped thousands become successful. She has been on many radio shows, TV shows, and magazines. She has an office where she does therapy, and she has helped so many people in their lives become successful through her amazing way she deals with people. And so this guest that we have today, and we're waiting for her to come into the host queue, her name is Deborah Cooper. And so while we're waiting for Deborah, I'd like to say, after listening to Maria's show.
Susan, actually, she's on with you. Go ahead. She's with you.
Oh, okay. Hello, Deborah.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm doing well. I was listening to your introduction of me. It was very sweet of you.
Welcome.
Yes. Thank you. I'm thrilled that I'm here, thrilled to be able to be on your show. So we were talking about love and how God is, that we it would be best to love ourselves as God loves us.
Right,
totally.
And how you can't give away something if you don't have it already. And so I know you do a lot of therapy with individuals, couples, and all facets. And so do you want to express your expertise on that a little further?
On about loving ourselves? Oh, boy. It is, I have a little paper that I hand out to my clients, and it is probably one of the most powerful things that you can possibly have in their life, utilize it. And it's mirror work. And it's been made, you know, mirror work has been made fun of on Saturday Night Live with, what was his name? He would stand in front of the mirror and say, I like you, and gosh darn it, I really like you, I really love you. Okay, but that's not what I'm having my people do. It's you look into the mirror, and it's very awkward at first. You look into your own eyes, and you say, I love you, I really love you. And you say it three times. So I love you, I really love you, I love you, I really love you. You say that to yourself, do it at least once a day. Preferably every time you see your reflection. It's like behaviorally, it goes in. You're doing it, you're saying it, you're hearing it. So there's multiple levels that you're getting this self-love. And at first what happens is people will feel like, oh, this is really corny, or I'm so insincere, and how can I look myself in the eyes when I have that wrinkle or that pimple or that scar, and you just get through it. All you have to do is say the words, you know, repeat it to yourself and do it for 30 days. And I can guarantee that if you do it every day for 30 days, you will notice a difference in your self-love. It's very, you know, it's behavioral. It's, you know, it's cognitive. You're working on the way that you think. So we have to think, you know, usually whatever we think moves into a feeling. If we think something, it creates a feeling. So we want you to think love, and it will be much easier to also choose someone in your life that you feel more loved by instead of someone who could be abusive. Because if you love yourself, you will probably not choose an abusive relationship. You will hear some words that are said to you, and you're going to say, this is not acceptable, instead of trying to accept it and think it's normal, because it's not. Those hurtful, abusive words are not acceptable. So it's you must start loving yourself more. Are you still there?
So I was just listening. You're talking about abuse, and so we deal with abuse victims in that come into shelters or come out of shelters, and male, female alike, or children who've been abused, and their expression of love is damaged from the relationship they were in. And so a lot of times kids that were molested, and that was the only way they knew love, and it was actually inappropriate. And so what do you do with those kind of situations to help them heal?
Well, I try to take it out of the thought level. Like you use the word inappropriate. To somebody to hear that about abuse, it is so beyond that. It is it is cruel, selfish, there's so many words, so inappropriate. But they want to keep them out of their the thought on that and into understanding it via the feeling of it. They were violated, absolutely violated. And out of that violation, in order to work on it within their own minds, they will feel as though I'm worthless. I'm not important enough. You know, obviously, this is normal. Being abused, whether it be physically, sexually, verbally, emotionally, financially, that's what we're talking about, is the physical and emotional abuse is, it's anybody who's been abused as a child has got a damaged self-esteem.
Right. And so if they go to look in the mirror, they see, how am I beautiful if this is what happened to me, and why didn't it happen to someone else? And so they have a hard time with that whole exercise.
Most, you know, I got to tell you, most people have it, even ones that really like themselves a lot and really love themselves. Because it just is an awkward thing to do. But that's the whole key, is that we want to shift that thought process. And when you shift it with your thoughts, our thoughts create feelings, you start having the feeling of self-love. Because we start out with a thought, and the thought just seems so incongruent. You know, it just doesn't fit. You know, I know that I'm not that great. You know, I'm just whatever the self-talk is. But when you do this process, you see a change. And you stop, after a short period of time, you stop feeling that it's silly and, you know, awkward and whatnot. You just look in the mirror and say, I love you. I really love you. You just go for it. You know, I'd like everybody to go for it to the point of having a crush on themselves, you know.
And not being narcissistic.
And not be what?
Narcissistic.
Oh, they won't be narcissistic. Truthfully, they could be narcissistic, but that is developed earlier in life. And it's all about something else. You know, it's narcissism is, loving yourself is not the same as narcissism, because narcissists don't love themselves. They are acting and thinking in ways to defend themselves because they know that they're not perfect. And it comes out of insecurity, that behavior and lack of ability to be empathetic. So it's very different from, you know, from loving yourself to being a narcissist. No, we want them loving themselves, and it makes their quality of love for somebody else a lot easier. Because, you know, you start with yourself. You know, that's how we were brought into the world, you know, loving ourselves, thinking of ourselves. You can't continue on just thinking of yourself like a baby does. But you, when you start loving yourself, it allows you to be sensitive also to other people.
Deborah, I get this question a lot because I've been married 4 times. And in my book that I just wrote, I share about 4 difficult relationships. And so people automatically, because I put them all in the book, assume that they're all like I got beat up in every one of them. But each relationship was different. And so people say, I can't believe you're being married 4 times. And I always feel like, you know, you have to defend that. But people don't understand that just because you failed once doesn't mean you can't try again. And yes, if you were abused, you have a habit pattern that you may not have been healed from and moved on to. But what is your take? Should people never try again? Or how do you encourage or discourage people from, you can't say you could never have a relationship again because you married someone and you were abused. And, you know, nobody, I don't believe anybody gets married to think about, I'm going to get divorced someday.
Can I interject here before we talk? Deborah, this is Maria.
Hi, Maria.
Hi. Susan, you got married more than once, twice, 3 times. I was married twice, and I did the absolute opposite of what Susan did, and I just focused on work and paying attention to watching my kid grow up and the women around me, making sure they have what they need and making sure their organizations are going. And I have focused completely away from trying it again. So what is right and what is wrong?
Okay. Well, there is no right or wrong. It's just what is going to make you happiest. And what happens with somebody who's been in, had multiple relationships, they've been hurt. There's a lot of pain that goes on, and they're not, a lot of times, not very anxious to jump into another one until their pain is mended. And you mend your pain by working on loving yourself. And when you start loving yourself, it allows you to go forward to love someone else and have a committed relationship without the fear. Because you can't fully love if you have the fear of loving. You know, you just have to say, I'm going for it. However, we must utilize what we have learned from our past relationships. We need to be in a relationship where our partner also loves himself.
Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to interject again, Susan, because what if there is no fear in loving that somebody else? You just haven't found that right person that you know God is saying this is it.
And that's kind of, that answers itself. Or you could be being a little bit too critical. I mean, I work a lot with people who are just really critical of partners. They've got to be this, they've got to be that, you know, and a lot of times they do it as it's a defense. It's a defense to keep them because they have been hurt so badly.
I think a lot of times you don't know the person, though, until you actually are married, and then all of a sudden you're not, you know, doing that honeymoon period where everything is perfect. You're trying to impress them, and your guard is down, and you see stuff that you didn't see before, because before you weren't, like, living with them. You weren't, you know, in the situation, and things come up, and I really know that that's natural, but if you just, you know, you have to know that some things you see and you either ignored the flag or those flags come up later, and you're already married in it, and you're like, well, I'm going to make the best of it, try my hardest, and then when it fails, people are like, well, you know, you were already going to fail because you were married before and blah, blah, blah. And it's such a bad thing to put out on people, but really they do.
Yeah, some people do. Not all people. But the, you asked me a question, and I forgot what the question was.
Which one, Maria or I?
Whoever was talking, there was a question in there about what do you do with, I think something, what do you do with the people? But anyway, I'm going to just go ahead and answer it since I've already got a question.
Okay.
Sorry. No, it's okay. So, first of all, I think that as a person develops, as we get older, as we love ourselves more, because we realize that everybody has flaws and okay if we have a couple. And then it becomes also okay if somebody else has a couple, and unless those flaws include verbal abuse or, you know, I think the answer to this, how do you know, you date them for a long time. And you're going to have red flags. And is it a red flag that's livable? Is it a red flag that violates me as a human? I mean, then that's like an X. You don't even marry them. But you can know these, a lot of these, before you're married. And you have to know that once you get married, any issues you have are going to get bigger. So
right.
Is it okay that whatever the issue they have, if that gets bigger, is that going to be okay? So if we're talking about it doesn't work. There's lots of reasons why marriages don't work. And the primary one is whether you can accept their flaws. Because there's no flawless person, maybe diamonds, but not people. And so can you accept that? And you have to answer that as a person who loves themselves. What I recommend for a lot of my clients is think of someone you know that you know loves themselves and has boundaries. And when you're in a situation, say to yourself, how would this person, how would, you know, Alice act in this situation? You know, you think of this person and say, what would she do? And sometimes you need that as a guide to help you through some challenging situations. And it's not always easy because there's a lot of times you have to say no and you have to look at what your true boundaries are. I have in my office, I can pull it off my wall, a list of what is only the acceptable way to have a relationship. Hold on one second. I'm walking over to my wall. It's called Basic Rights in a Relationship. Okay, so this is a whole, is it okay if I read this on the?
How many do you have on the list? Because we can take a commercial break and come right back to that list and start fresh.
Well,
so let's take
let
a station break.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll just take
that.
A station break right now.
Okay, terrific.
Soul Sister Radio.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Soul Sister Radio.
Welcome back to The Advocate, and today we have with us Dr. Deborah Cooper. She is known as the Relationship Doctor. And Deborah, you have a list for us, and we're excited to hear about this, so come on back.
Okay, I'm back. Yes, I would assume that you guys know about Patricia Evans. She writes books, The Verbally Abusive Relationship, anyway, do you know about those?
I'm not familiar with her work.
Okay. Well, it's wonderful and helps especially women understand what is abusive. And in one of her books, this is a Basic Rights in a Relationship. And one of the, I'll start with that, I don't know, maybe 15 of them or 10.
Yes, just take your time.
So,
to be heard by the other and be responded to with courtesy. The right to goodwill from the other. The right to live free from accusation and blame. The right to emotional support. The right to live free from criticism and judgment. The right to be respectfully asked rather than ordered. Now, I'm stopping in the middle here because so many of my ladies, when they come in and they read this, they go, oh, yeah, sure. And they don't think that this is normal. They don't think there's a possibility of having that. And it is normal, and there are relationships that have all of these. I'm going to continue now. The right to have your feelings and experience acknowledged as real. The right to live free from emotional and physical threat. The right to live free from angry outbursts and rage. The right to have your own view, even if your mate has a different view. The right to clear and informative answers to questions and concerns that are legitimately your business. The right to encouragement. The right to receive a sincere apology for any jokes you find offensive. The right to have your work and interests spoken of with respect. And the last one is the right to be called by no name that devalues you. So that is my list of basic rights in a relationship. And there's problems in the relationship if you don't have all of them. And you can. When you love yourself, when you love yourself enough to trust your judgment, you know, being with someone who is an abuser, there are signs right up front.
This is Maria.
What were you gonna say?
Hi, Maria. Can you give our audience what those signs may be? Because we have some ladies, I know that when I was in the thick of it, I couldn't see the signs if they bit me in the face. So can you kind of give them, our audience, what those signs could be? Because they start off very slight.
Very slight. But one of the first signs is, do they want to go really fast in the relationship? Are they, you know, wanting to be with you, know a lot, you know where you are? And that can happen right away. However, there's another end of it. That's one sign. It's not one that happens in all of them. The other one is, and the main one is, are they arrogant? Do they have an air about them that I'm the boss? I'm the one that you're supposed to be here to please and get used to it, you know?
Exactly.
And women will, you know, are so willing to please, they don't realize that that is abuse in itself, that they are already being told that you're not as important as I am. And especially if you've had a father or an older man during your childhood who is like that and was abusive, you automatically relate that this type of arrogance and behavior is, you think it's the way women are supposed to be with men. But this is what all men are like. And the kicker is when I hear a woman say, oh, but he seems like such a pansy. You know, these other, you know, the men that they're not attracted to because those men don't have the arrogance. Somehow the arrogance, they misunderstand that that's power. The only reason this man has arrogance is because he feels powerless, because he feels insecure. And the acting out of being arrogant is his way of acting as if he's got power. He's doing it as a defense. People that are really secure are loving. They're kind. They are nothing like the arrogant men that abused women find. Arrogance is one of the big ones. Another one is telling you what to do. I remember quite a few years ago, I'd gone out with this man, and he was a very well-off man. He was handsome. He had all these things. His wife had passed away. I thought, okay, he's been married for over 30 years. His wife passed away. There's got to be probably a good catch. Well, he started telling me what to do. And the one that was like the coup de grace was, we're getting out of his car to go into some place for food. He says, just leave your purse in the car. And I thought to myself,
gosh.
Okay, first of all, I don't leave my purse in any car. You know, it's a purse. It's got all my private things. And somebody could take it. They could see it in the car. It was just so, well, that's something he was used to. And maybe that's what he said to his wife. I actually thought, well, maybe that's one of the reasons she probably had to stuff it and she got cancer, you know. But, you know, because our mind and bodies are so connected, we create an immune system that if we're under continuous stress, we get sick. So I just thought it was quite interesting. And I walked in behind him and I said, you know, it's not okay to tell me what to do. Like, tell me, even in the littlest thing that you might think, tell me to leave my purse in my car. I don't tell you what to do, and you don't have to tell me what to do. And that was it. That was the last date. But, you know, that's what we have to do when we realize the difference. Nobody tells you what to do. You don't get ordered around. You know, somebody who is, you know, successful and they're, you know, used to being the boss, they're not the boss of you. They're just not.
Exactly.
And you don't give them any permission. And you've got to cut it off at the very beginning. You know, say, stop it. You don't tell me what to do. Because what happens is as they do that and you follow their orders, they lose respect for you. As they lose respect for you, their abuse level increases. And what happens for you is that your self-respect decreases. When your self-respect decreases, it's hard to still feel the same love for yourself. As a matter of fact, I tell people, you cannot be in love with someone. You can love somebody, but not in love with somebody that you don't respect. And you basically, sometimes we give respect to the wrong things. Respect can and best is to go to someone who respects you. You respect them because they respect you. And you know, you just respect them. You go in with respect. And if they start showing you that they don't deserve respect, then you find out. But as far as getting married, going into a big relationship, take your time. Look through it. Watch the behavior. Listen to what he says. Find out if he's, you know, used to being abusive. I mean, his father might have been that way, and that's what he, you know, thinks he's supposed to do. I mean, some of these men are rehabilitatable. A lot of them are not. A lot of them, with it comes, you know, possible character disorders, narcissistic personality disorder. You know, a lot of them have other things that they do. You know, sociopath, which is somebody who doesn't think the rules apply to them, or they, you know, they can go against the laws, whatever the laws are, whether it's the laws of, you know, the police, or the laws of humanity, the Ten Commandments, whatever it is, they can go against the laws. You know, those are not acceptable. So I think the key element is stick around long enough to know if he's not. I mean, truly not. And sometimes it's not whether, you know, he gives you that zinger, you know, that hurts. So therefore you relate being in love to being hurt. Mm-hmm. You know, if I'm hurting about this person, I must be in love with him. No, that's not true. If the relationship hurts, I must love. No, you're hurting because you're being destroyed. It hurts to be destroyed.
I have a question, you know, for you.
Mm-hmm.
I am not dating, and nor do I care to date right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that I am a strong woman, and oftentimes in meeting men, they're intimidated by that.
Yeah.
At the same time, they're attracted to all these accomplishments you've done, and
they really like that. But then you butt heads because you are strong, and then they feel like you're not going to let them lead. And the thing is how do you balance that without making a man feel like he's not the king? And how do you stay individual and continue your life as a strong woman, not wanting to give that up? Like in my case, I'm using my case, because I'm 53 years old. All my children are grown. I have grandchildren. I'm an author. I have things I want to do. But maybe someday I will venture into a relationship again. But how do you balance that when there's always a man who tries to have you stop what you're doing, and how do you keep what you're doing?
Stop what you're doing? Like what?
Countering
him?
They adore what you are doing until you're in the relationship, and then it's like, okay, well, I don't want you to do that anymore. insecurity
anymore?
That they want you to stop doing those things?
Doing what things? Like being successful? No. Maybe I didn't say it clear enough. No.
Like right now, I'm attracting all these people that I don't even have the feelers out there for dating, but they keep, it comes at you. And so
it's
I'm just like, no. No.
It's your charisma. They can't help it. They get around you. Okay. But the key is these basic rights in a relationship are so mandatory. Okay, so first thing to do is we have to step back and evaluate, are we bulldozing? Are we so tired in our life of not being taken seriously or being respected or acknowledged, our experiences acknowledged as real? Are we so used to that we are going over, like the pendulum goes way, let's say it goes way to one side, and then eventually as we get used to, okay, I'm respected, I'm, better, feeling better about myself, then the pendulum comes down. But initially when you're efforting at having your self-esteem, working through being away from abusive relationships, and if they don't, have respect your work or what you say, that's a form of abuse. So the key is first, listen to what they say. And if it's something really important that you're really mad at, repeat back to them what you heard them say. And it could be in the form of a question, but to let them know that you absolutely heard them. And when that happens, the person can drop the issue. Because once they feel that they've been heard, they don't have to repeat it. But a lot of fights, arguments, come out of both people not feeling as though they're being heard. So you feed it back to them. They may say, no, what I meant was da-da-da-da-da. And then you feed back, okay, so da-da-da-da was it. and they go, yeah. So they feel gotten. Then they're open to talk to you normally. Versus if we immediately counter with something. So we have to start it on our end. We have ways to adjust in a relationship that travels through our business, and with kids, with family members. And this is one of the ways to do it, where you can calm down what could have been a challenging situation. When we're talking about women who have been abused, the key on that one was just run, get out of it. But that is one. That's one of the elements. And another one, which this is a pretty much a therapy basic, both of these. First one I talked about was active listening, which is you actively listen. You tell them what you heard them say. And the other one then is I messages. Instead of saying, you did this, you said, you made me feel this. Well, first of all, nobody can make you feel. You feel a certain way because somebody else in the same situation might not feel what you're feeling. And so therefore that would, you know, we're all different. So instead of using a you message, a blaming message, say, what I experienced was I felt hurt when I heard that. It, you know, made me feel bad, or my opinion is, you know, that most people blank, blank, blank. You know, you talk from an I message and do not use the you message. Don't use the word you until the fifth word in a sentence. If you get it after the fifth word in a sentence, it's pretty much an I message.
What about when the other person is transferring onto you and you lose control of the conversation?
What do you mean transferring onto you?
Well, you start out in a conversation and it's working right. You're explaining how you're feeling, and then they turn it completely around and you've lost control of it, and then it blows up into a fight.
Okay. I can just about guarantee you, if you do the active listening, you can eliminate a fight. People want to be gotten. For your own, what do you mean?
Well, for your own self, you can have control of it because you don't have control over how they're going to react.
Right.
But as long as you're doing the active listening.
By doing the active listening, you're actually calming them down. So this is something you're having to do for yourself. You're having to think it through, be really logical in an emotional situation. It's a challenge. It's a big challenge. But
yeah.
when you use active listening, I'll give you an example of active listening. What I heard you say, and I'm you know, that's not usually how you start active listening, but you were saying that when you are in a conversation, you're trying to express your feelings, and it just escalates and escalates and blows up, and he's just, you know, like expressing his anger, and it's an argument. You want to know how to diffuse that. Is that what you wanted to know?
Well, not necessarily that, but what do you do when people transfer stuff back onto you, and it wasn't even...
Transfer is a fuzzy language. I'm not sure that I'm understanding what you mean by transfer.
We'll just move on to something else because I don't want to bring up an actual incident because it wouldn't be good to air on.
It's the word, we could use another word for transferring.
Well, it's like they place the blame. It's like you end up with all the blame when you're the one who comes to the table saying, I want to talk about this.
Yeah,
and then it just backfires on you.
Okay, so that's what you mean by transfer. Okay, so they're turning it around on you in a not kind way. So what I'm doing with you right now is I'm doing active listening. I'm trying to get really clear on what you mean. And the more I get clear on what you mean, the better it feels for you. Your stomach feels calmer. Okay, so I'm going to continue with it. So when you're doing the active listening. Okay, no, let me go back. He's saying, yeah, but when you forgot to do the, you know, lock the front door, that caused the this and the that, and then you left the shower on, and then you, you know. And you were talking about something that happened a couple of days ago, which had nothing to do with what he's talking about, or that he just turned the blame around to you. That it was your fault that this happened, instead of accepting any blame.
Right.
Does that sound more like what you're talking about when that happens?
Yeah, mostly. Okay. I just was curious on your take on that. I see that a lot with people. They do
because that's what they learned as a good defense, as a good offense. So they get offensive as a way of defending themselves. So it's offensive when they're saying that, when they're turning it around or transferring it. They turn it to being, you know, they're the ones running with the ball instead of trying to knock, you know, or anyway, I can't use football.
I have another question for you. In dealing with victims of domestic abuse or sexual abuse, what is an average amount of counseling that one would recommend they go through? And this question came up in discussions outside of the talk show with just in general, would you recommend a year of counseling or 6 months or because some people think you go to counseling and it's you should be fixed. But as you know, everybody's individual, and if it's very traumatic abuse, it may take a long time.
Yes. Yes. I say a minimum of 6 months going every week.
And is that
week.
Weekly? Every week?
That's uh-huh. weekly, or even if you can, twice a week. But,
right.
You know, and you have to be, usually when, you know, women will come in, is they're usually at this point pretty open to fixing themselves. And it's hard not to, you know, we have to get out of the talking about him, you know, where the anger is, you know,
right.
Who victimized them, and start dealing with them and how they can take more control. But I'd say a very basic minimum of 6 months for almost anything, like abuse. I'd say longer, a year.
Exactly.
And you want to work with a therapist, preferably, that's active in the communication with you. Not someone just says, how do you feel about that?
Right.
recommendation is I don't know of any ethical therapist that would do this, but you don't want to go into psychoanalysis where it's you have to be fairly, first of all, you have to be fairly calm about your life to go into that. So psychoanalysis, that's where they have the pictures of it where the person's laying down on the sofa, the psychiatrist is behind them where he can't see them, and they just say, okay, tell me about that, you know, tell me more. And they're not actively saying, like, I would go in and read, you know, have them go up like I did last night with a session. Have her go and read the basic rights in a relationship. You know, I want them to do something to actively get out of their situation and out of their thought process that has kept them a victim. Because really good chance they saw their mother being a victim. You know, even if they had a strong mother, you know, she could have still been the victim.
Right.
You know, so, you know, it's people you would never imagine as victims of domestic abuse are. I mean, they seem so together on the outside, but it's insidious. It comes on, the abuse starts small, gets bigger, gets bigger, gets bigger, gets bigger, it gets bigger, and it doesn't go back to small. It just gets bigger, and, you know, until they either leave or really start working on themselves. And I've worked with women who have gotten out of their abusive relationship because they changed their own behavior and it was no longer an abuse relationship. They started standing up for themselves, saying, stop it, don't talk to me like that.
Right.
You know, who do you think they're talking to? You know, and that's really hard when you feel like a victim. That is a huge step. There's, like I was starting to talk about, the verbally abusive relationship, that book I highly recommend. The verbally abusive relationship, how to recognize it and how to respond. It's by Patricia Evans. And then she has another one, Verbal Abuse Survivors Speak Out. That's her book right after that. those two books are so valuable for victims. They see how it started so subtly. You know, because, you know, the physically abusive men usually are very jealous. You know, they'll be jealous, controlling, wanting to know where you are. They'll try to, you know, manipulate you so that you can't be around your friends or family. There's lots of ways that they manipulate it so that they have a power over you. It's all about a power over you. You have to take your power back. Only, you know, only accept, you know, kind, loving, just kind and loving, you know, words, actions.
You know. I know that control early on in a relationship, you take it as, oh, they care about you. That's why they're
right.
Asking questions. But then you draw the line, and it's like, wait a minute, this is borderline nosy, infringing on my rights as a person to have the ability to go somewhere without having to tell everybody where you're going.
Right. So that's where boundaries need to be addressed. You need to say, no, I'll let you know all about my day later. You know, and if they have a really bad problem with it, you got a bad problem.
Right.
You know, if it's not that you just leave and don't tell them, but if they're real nosy, like, well, so who are you going to talk to? Who is it you talked to? It sounds like you were, you know, was that somebody that was interested in you? Is he this? Is he that? That starts getting to be over the edge. You know,
don't you think,
not,
Deborah, that everyone who talks to you is interested in you? That's why they're talking to you. But it doesn't have to be that they're interested in you in a sexual way.
Or
but someone who
way.
Is talking to you is interested in talking to you. And so
yeah.
It's like a no-brainer.
or if you're talking to them, doesn't mean that you're interested in them. I mean,
exactly.
I talk to everybody. I talk to everybody. You know, if I see somebody walking down the street, I say hello. You know, express, you know, unless it's somebody that looks threatening, I might not, but I look them in the eye and I let them know that I know they're there. And I don't look away as if I'm afraid. You look away as if you're afraid you're a sitting victim. You know. But,
so, Deborah, we have about 4 minutes left. What would be something you could give our listeners to take home from this, and do you have any resources you want to put out there while we're still on the air?
Well, yeah, I would like them to read the book, The Verbally Abusive Relationship by Patricia Evans. That is,
they,
there is so
was
that much
that. Put out
that.
This year?
No, it's old.
Oh,
you can get
okay.
It sometimes you can get it on Amazon, but it's in the stores. Oh, it's still in the stores because
okay.
It still sells. But you can get it on Amazon for like $5, you know, it used to be like 15 or something, but because it's old and they just keep reprinting them, you know, and getting them out there. I mean, I've gotten them, you know, sometimes I've bought them by, you know, multiples, you know, so that I have them for my clients. Now that would be huge to just understand how this person, she explains in the book how it starts out, how the woman responds, and you really realize it could be anybody. It could be Golda Meir, you know. It could be somebody who absolutely would not expect to be in an abusive relationship. It could be, you know, Hillary Clinton. Of course, we know that story, but we don't know if it was abusive. You know, I don't think it was, because she continues to be supported by him and respected by him. But you get to know the differences. You need to know the subtleties. Because we have to keep you out of being put down, because your self-esteem has become so fragile when you've been victimized and didn't know it, because you don't know it at first. So, you know, stay on top of it, and then it will automatically become just, it'll be automatic. I'm no longer being abused, you can say to yourself. I feel good. I see somebody who's a jerk, they're gone. You need to keep the boundaries.
Right.
Understand your boundaries and keep them.
And so if the verbal abuse escalates to physical abuse, leave, and your personal safety is far more important than the relationship. So we're to surround ourselves with support systems, seek counseling, mm-hmm. either go together or separately, and abuse is never justified, so we should never feel like it's our fault unless you did something that caused the situation. And you both need to get help. Exactly. And abuse is not just a woman being abused by a man. It's also a woman can abuse a man also. And so for those who are listening that are men, this is no abuse is tolerated. And I would like to thank you, Deborah, for your expertise. And maybe we got a little confused in our talking, but I appreciate everything that you do. And I know that you have so much more you could share with us. We'll have to bring you back on a second time and go over this again and have people call in and maybe ask some questions.
Soul Sister Radio.
That would be great.
So I appreciate you, Deborah, the relationship doctor. And for those who just tuned in at the end here, we were talking with Deborah Cooper, PhD, better known as the relationship doctor. And this has been Soul Sister Radio with Susan Shengazar, the advocate. And we'll see you again next Thursday, 5 o'clock, and look forward to hearing your questions. So chime in on the chat line, and we'll get right back with you. God bless you, and have a great week.
Soul Sister Radio.
Rebecca Lawler Limited is the culmination of a lifelong dream for philanthropist and designer Rebecca Lawler. She designed her patented, unique glass heart, which is handcrafted by glass artists in Virginia. Placed in the center is a brilliant gem. The heart can be worn with the Rebecca Lawler Limited signature ribbon or an awareness ribbon of choice. To join the mission of the Hearts of Hope Foundation and add a Rebecca Lawler signature heart to your own personal style, go to RebeccaLawlerLimited.com. That's RebeccaLawlerLimited.com.
Soul Sister Radio.